DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Coming up in a moment, exclusive content for us here on a Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. We're going to hear from David Green, DJ Shockley, a pair of former Georgia quarterbacks who played together at the same time, on what they think about the current Georgia quarterbacks playing at the same time, Jake Fromm, Justin Fields. This is really good stuff coming up from them in a moment right here today on a Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. But before that, let me start with something I just think is fun. This is not a huge topic. I'm not going to spend a long time on this, but I did sort of notice this. It caught my attention. I thought this would be kind of a fun way to begin our program today. Y'all know that I love anonymous coach quotes. You know, all the various websites now seem to do some version of this. They get coaches off the record speaking about, you know, their opponents, the other coaches. It seems like this stuff gets less and less intriguing and volatile. It almost becomes sort of an antiseptic version of what they say when they do put their names behind it. But nonetheless, when it's good news for Georgia, it's good to hear for a lot of UGA fans, and Sports Illustrated became the latest outlet to sort of get involved in this, and I'll take the bait on this every single time. They quote some anonymous coaches who, I guess, coached against Georgia, what they think about the Bulldogs, and you would have a list of players you'd expect to be complimented. I don't know, though, that the guy that really got maybe the most praise from this particular anonymous coach is one you would have necessarily expected, but take a look from the pages of Sports Illustrated at just how much one anonymous coach, quoted by SI, how much he loves Georgia center Lamont Gilyard. The anonymous coach says the center Lamont Gilyard is probably the best in college football. So how about that level of praise for Gilyard there? And if you go back and watch, like, the SEC championship game, you do see examples of that where Gilyard was really mauling players in 2018, a guy that we didn't know maybe a ton about before the start of the 2017 season. But by the end of the 2017 season, I do think if he wasn't viewed by Georgia fans as the best center in all of college football, he was certainly viewed as a rock-solid member of that UGA offensive line. And obviously, I'm not going to lie to you, I like it when coaches, media members, people outside the bubble of Dog Nation compliment UGA players. But when you hear this about Gilyard, it also serves the purpose of being kind of a relevant point for UGA this summer. Because for a Georgia offensive line that's great this season, or at least hopes to be great this season, you have to deal with what you have as your knowns and your unknown commodities for that Georgia line right now. You think that Andrew Thomas is a known commodity there at that left tackle spot, even though that's not the position he started at a year ago. But you are somewhat uncertain at left guard. That seems to be a competition up for grabs here. Right tackle, we know there's going to be a brand new started for Georgia at the right tackle spot here in 2018. So if you can really move Gilyard in that category of not just a solid starter, but among the best in the country at his position, all of a sudden it makes the entire rotation for Georgia's offensive line a little bit easier to navigate. In fact, when Kirby spoke about the offensive line a little earlier this week, he did talk about the multiple combinations they're trying at a lot of these spots, which means that the rock-solid placement of Gilyard there in the middle only becomes that much more valuable. Here is Kirby on his offensive line.
We got a lot of different rotations. By period, we change guys on fields. Got tackles playing guard, guard playing tackles. Certainly some of our guards we don't feel can play tackle. But we've got some guards switching and going out. I mean, I don't think you guys get to see all those combinations. So there's a lot of combinations going on in there to find the best depth we can find.
So just a real simple point here, if you're rotating that many guard and tackle combinations, to have a guy in the middle, the center, Lamont Gilyard, who one coach says he may be the best in the entire country at his position, that's a pretty valuable commodity for a UGA. So let me also shift gears here now and talk about this. On Saturday, you know, we were with Matt and John Stinchcomb, former Georgia quarterback David Green at Dogs for Kids, a great night raising money for two great charitable causes, Children's Health Care of Atlanta and the Georgia Transplant Foundation. And in the midst of being in that room, not just for a good cause, but also some good football talk, we had a chance to sort of listen in on some conversations where former Georgia players talked about current Georgia players. An example of that, you know, so many people have sort of said, hey, this Jake Fromm, Justin Fields thing, it may end up being a little bit like what it was with David Green and DJ Shockley going back to the 2002, 2003, and 2004 seasons. Well, how do Green and Shockley themselves feel about that? Let's listen in on them right now with their thoughts on both Fromm and Justin Fields. This is great stuff from two guys who know this position very well. Let me start with David Green here.
Well, I Jake Fromm, the way he played last year as a true freshman, remarkable. I mean, I'm a huge Jake Fromm fan. You know, kid like Justin Fields, pretty unique talent as well. You know, I wouldn't be shocked to see, you know, Fromm, really, it's really his team. But there may be a couple of packages they throw in for Fields, whether it's a, you know, a third and one, you know, kind of situation or goal line type packages. You never know. I kind of see it maybe playing out kind of like the leak Tebow, you know, years ago, where it was kind of Leak's team, but Tebow had certain situations he would come in as well. The good thing is it's a good problem to have. When you got quarterbacks that are this talented, you got a true freshman, took us to the national championship, and the people are talking about this other kid behind him. So we're fortunate and blessed. We got a lot of really talented players, and hopefully the competition will just make it all that much better.
So really interesting there from David Green. It sounds like Green thinks that Jake Fromm is very much still the starter on this team, and I would agree with Green on that. I think most Georgia fans would as well, that this is his team. But when you look at the overall talent level for Justin Fields, you say, you know what, this is a guy that in some form or fashion probably has to be out on the field. And I thought that David Green did a pretty interesting job of describing how that might look for Georgia here in 2018. How about a guy like DJ Shockley, who won an SEC championship of his own for Georgia as the starter in 2005, but had to wait for his turn a bit 2002, 2003, 2004. What does he think of both Fields and Jake Fromm? Here's DJ Shockley on that same subject as well.
I think it's one of those situations where people always say if you got two, you have none. But I think in this case, you actually do have two good quarterbacks that can play. And I think, yeah, Fromm played well last year. He did a lot for Georgia, especially down the stretch. Like you just mentioned, Fields is a guy who I think is going to find his way on the field. And you can't keep a guy like that off the field. I think he adds a whole other dimension to that offense. And he's going to force defensive coordinators to have to study a little bit more and have to worry about it when he comes in the game, what he's going to do. And the good thing about it is, he's not one of these guys that's going to come in and just run. He can throw it around the field just as good as Fromm is. But you got two talented guys that's going to make it very hard on defenses come this fall.
I think some people would assume that you relate more to Fields because they think of the Clemson game in 2002 or the highlight play from Boise State in 2005 when you had some dazzling runs. But you also had some big throws as well. 2005 SEC championship comes to mind. Which of these two quarterbacks do you sort of think reminds you more of what you were like when you were going through your career at Georgia?
You know what, I think both have similar characteristics. I think the athleticism, of course, comes from Justin, but I think the mental mindset of how Jake goes about his business, how he prepares, I think both are very smart players. Both go out and put their best foot forward, but I think they both have a little bit of me in both of them because I want to compete. They both love to compete. They don't shy away from competition, and you can see that early. Both these guys want to win. And they can do it upstairs and with their legs. So I think it's going to be fun to watch these two. It's pretty cool to say both these guys have some characteristics that I had as well.
I think there's something really interesting that DJ Shockley says there in his discussion about Justin Fields. And listening to a guy like Shockley talk about Fields is more interesting because we've seen a year worth of Jake Fromm. We all have opinions on Fromm, but not everybody has seen a lot of Justin Fields going back to his high school career. We've seen a lot of highlights that we've shown for you here on Dog Nation, but Shockley sort of watched, you know, some of what he does closely. He's, you know, I'm going to presume here has, you know, some sort of, you know, inside relationship with the University of Georgia when it comes to Justin Fields. And he says a couple things there that are really important, that even though Jake Fromm is the guy that we saw throwing the football all year last year in 2017, don't assume that Justin Fields is just a runner because he does have the ability to run and take care of business with his legs. You hear Justin Fields praised by DJ Shockley there for his ability to throw the football. He has that dynamic involved in his game. And much the same way that Jake Fromm entered his freshman season of 2017 and sort of quickly took to the books, quickly took to the, you know, the cerebral part of being a quarterback, and ultimately I believe that's one of the things that led Fromm to have as much success as early on as he did was the fact that he embraced the cerebral part of being a quarterback. You hear DJ Shockley there praise Justin Fields for his knowledge of the game as well. This is not everything that every quarterback takes to. Quarterbacks sometimes just don't embrace that part of the game as much as they need to, and I think that's one of the reasons why you see some quarterbacks struggle early. But in the case of Jake Fromm, he excelled in that a year ago, and it sounds like DJ Shockley thinks that Justin Fields, if called upon, could be very much in the same kind of mold here for 2018. The bottom line for me in this entire discussion is, this is not the kind of thing that I think that Georgia fans ought to be sweating whatsoever. I think that Georgia fans ought to be anticipating that Austin Peay game. And then every game beyond that, the rest of the season. It is likely to me that Georgia has a very good starter in Jake Fromm and a backup quarterback in Justin Fields, who is going to play maybe even more than the typical backup quarterback does. And when he does, he'll put on a dazzling display of athleticism. But to go back to David Green, who said sometimes when you have two quarterbacks, you don't really have one. In Georgia's case, that's probably not true at all. This is multiple quarterbacks who do very different things very, very well, and Georgia benefits from the entire package here in 2018. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented by Marco's Pizza, and we are live on video every day at 10 a.m., on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form. On demand, pretty much any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world, wherever podcasts can be found. We are just really, really glad you have found Dog Nation Daily here today. We want to thank Marco's Pizza for bringing it all to you and remind you that Marco's invites you to say hello to authentic Italian-quality pizza at Marco's with a foundation of dough made fresh every day, a sauce from the original Giammarco family recipe, and three signature cheeses. Every pizza comes out primo. So place your order today at marcos.com, and you know I love doing that. And I had a good time seeing on the Dog Nation forum yesterday. Some of y'all were having some fun. Jeff had asked you to caption a picture for me, and some of you, including our buddy Joel Sidney Kelly, had kind of gotten in on this. And, you know, you had me laughing with the Marco's pizza in there in my hand. And listen, it only makes me think I'd love to have some of my own right there, right then. It was really terrific stuff, and we appreciate you participating in all of our conversations there on the forum at forum.dognation.com. And one of the things that you were talking about yesterday on the forum was the return of Before the Hedges yesterday afternoon, the recruiting show that Jeff Sintel and I are going to do at 3 p.m. every Wednesday afternoon, every week going forward. This is going to be a great, great project that I'm really excited about being a part of. Many of you had a chance to check it out. If you didn't, I think you really missed a lot. I loved a lot of the stuff that Jeff Sintel had to say yesterday afternoon. And when you have the job that Jeff does right now of covering UGA recruiting, I mean, there's really only one forecast to give. I mean, Jeff's one of those guys that I've always felt sort of calls it like he sees it, balls and strikes right down the middle. When things are going great for Georgia, he's been there to tell us if Georgia missed on a guy. Jeff doesn't sort of mince words saying, yeah, Georgia may have missed on this one, may regret that at some point in time. Jeff's just really reliable in that regard. But for now, the arrow is all pointing up for a UGA recruiting, and if you missed Before the Hedges yesterday, you missed Jeff Sintel saying this.
And what Georgia's doing is they're going out for the very best players, because Georgia can now get the very best player in Louisiana, the very best player in Rhode Island, the very best player in Pennsylvania, and his cousin, who's also the second best player in Pennsylvania. They can get the top player in North Carolina. They can get the five-star cornerback out of South Florida and do it again the next year, perhaps. Georgia's just recruiting at a different level, and the way this coaching staff gets on those guys, where the culture of competition is so stressed, that the guy that rises to the top of that talented death chart is going to deserve it, and he's going to earn it, and he's going to be a warrior on Saturdays.
So please make sure you check out Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger every Wednesday afternoon, and all those top players in all these states, like John Emery Jr. or, you know, Rian Trouble Davis, whoever they are, wherever they're coming from, Jeff Sintel going to be bringing you the inside information on how Georgia's getting all those guys. You're going to want to check that out. Another example of what was great about yesterday's show is two interviews with two top-flight recruits. One of those guys is getting ready to make his college decision. It's next Thursday. DJ Daniel, the cornerback from Georgia Military College, one of those guys that, you know, you don't necessarily think about Georgia going after junior college defensive backs, but maybe in a sense like Daniel, who brings a sort of rare combination of size and athleticism to the table, maybe Georgia makes an exception for DJ Daniel. I loved it yesterday when Jeff asked Daniel what it is that he likes about Georgia right now, and Daniel sort of talked about the relationship that the Georgia coaches have, not just with him, but the people in his family as well. Here's a little bit of DJ Daniel, who's on the verge of making his college decision.
What's the best thing you like about Georgia?
Just the communication, not just with me. They talk more to my family than me. So I just know it's just love there and just being straightforward to me.
So that's what he likes about the University of Georgia, and Georgia fans like a lot about DJ Daniel. And, of course, Dog Nation will be all over it next week when Daniel chooses from his top three. We'll find out if Georgia is the name that he calls next week. One more thing to let you hear from Before the Hedges yesterday afternoon. If you missed it, of course, Georgia went on a string of commits here recently. One of the guys to join the fold there was the three-star defensive tackle Zion Logue. A lot to like about this player, whose stock may rise in the months ahead. And Logue explained to Jeff Sintel why he thinks UGA is a good fit for him right now. Here's Zion Logue.
Fitness is very good for me. It's because when I went down to camp, I already felt like I was a part of the family. Coach Trey Scott took me in with open arms. Coach Kirby Smart took me in with open arms. So I'm just taking it all as a blessing. I'm grateful to have him. That's my commitment to it.
So Zion Logue says that he views his relationship with Georgia as a blessing, the fact that he gets to be committed to the University of Georgia. Maybe in the years ahead, Georgia fans will also grow to view Logue as a blessing as well, as Georgia needs depth there in the defensive line, and Zion Logue may just be the prospect who can provide that for UGA. Really fun stuff yesterday. Zion Logue interview, DJ Daniel interview, a lot of information from Jeff Sintel as a part of Before the Hedges presented by Kroger. I hope you got a chance to check that out. If not, hope you'll join us for that next week. For now, I am really excited. I have not talked to this guy in quite some time, but he is always one of my favorite guys to talk to. A terrific analyst, deep insight on the SEC and Georgia included. You know him, you love him. He is our buddy Mike Johnson. Let's welcome him back here to a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza right now. And I do mean it when I say it. It is fun to be talking to Mike Johnson again here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. We haven't spoken in a while, Mike, but it's good to have you back on the show today. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. I know that there's probably some Georgia fans in that comment section that love me, some that hate me, but I got to tell you, I'm happy to be back talking to you, brother.
Yeah, listen, you can't make a unanimous approval in the comment section on any subject. So, listen, if you've got even a portion of them, you've done pretty well, because not even I make them happy every single day, Mike.
It's an uphill battle for sure, man.
Yeah, no doubt about that whatsoever. I obviously do want to talk to you later on about this Jalen Hurts stuff, because I think there's an obvious comparison of what's going on at University of Georgia, or you know, could potentially go on in the future. And so I want to get your insight on that, what Alabama people are saying about what Hurts had to say this past weekend, because I do think that's that's something that Georgia fans are watching with keen interest right now. Before we get to that, though, let me get a couple thoughts from you on Georgia, in particular what's going on right now. Georgia does go into the indoor facility to practice yesterday. Been dealing with the heat, though, before that. Outdoors Friday, outdoors Saturday. And you're a guy that did this at the college and the NFL level. For these players who are kind of dealing with these sort of this grueling grind of, you know, intense competition during practice, but also battling that Georgia heat in the midst of doing that, what is it like for them right now in this regard?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I've tried and tried, you know, throughout the time as a guy in the media to explain to people how mentally tough it is to go through a training camp. And there's just no explaining it. I mean, you can't explain it to somebody that has never gone through 100-degree heat and sweated and, like myself, lost 13, 14 pounds during practice and get an IV and try to get as many calories as you can and then watch film and then get ready to go again the next day and do it all over again. It's so mentally exhausting. So you do have those times and those days where, I'm not going to lie, you cheer when you get to go into the indoor and some of that air-conditioned facility. And really, it takes a little bit off your legs. It allows you some time to kind of mentally recapture that love for the game. You know what I'm saying? You go through that grind every day, and you're outside. You think, man, I don't want to do this. You get that indoor day, and all of a sudden you think, you know what, man, this ain't too bad, and I'm really starting to enjoy this again. So it's such a mental grind, and going back and forth with it and trying to stay on top of it daily while still trying to get better at your craft is such a tough thing mentally. So I know that was a welcome day on the inside for Georgia for sure.
I do love the fact that you sort of take the mental side of this, because you know players are having to remember new duties for new positions in some cases, or just keep up with a lot of information on the practice field. And when you are also thinking about how hot you are and how much you may just want to stop and maybe want to quit, it does test you mentally as much as it tests you physically, doesn't it?
Oh, it for sure does. And listen, when I was in school, I'll never forget, Nick Saban walked out before practice one day, and we're all stretching. He says, hey, listen, not a trick question. How many of you guys think it's hot out here today? Not a trick question. So everybody, of course, raises their hand. He says, okay, good. We got that out of the way. Nobody has to say it anymore. Now we all know that's hot. We all agree. And nobody has to bring it up again. And so that just kind of envelops where everybody is mentally when it comes to some of those practices. It's hot in Georgia. It's hot in Alabama. I grew up in Florida. It's hot down there. But I think it makes you a tougher football team in the end. I really do.
All right, so as far as the talent on the field for Georgia right now, Mike, you're aware of the numbers. There are, I think, 21 former five-star prospects on Georgia's roster right now. There's, close to 50 four-star players, if I'm doing the math correctly there at that point in time. That means that, you know, at least on paper, numerically speaking, quantifiably, this may be the most talented Georgia roster of all time, which means that for, you know, a lot of these incoming freshmen who found their way onto the field in 2016 or may have found their way on the field in 2017, an incoming freshman in 2018 is not going to have quite as easy of a time doing that. So Kirby Smart's been, you know, speaking a lot about the role of, hey, use special teams as a vehicle to get yourself on the field. Jim Chaney, the offensive coordinator, spoke about that earlier this week as well. Let that be your avenue for finding some playing time. Be ready to contribute on special teams. What kind of mindset as a player do you have to say, well, back in high school I was the superstar. I was catching touchdowns or I was running for touchdowns, and now I'm making tackles on punt coverage. How much of a mindset change does that require?
Oh, my God, it's huge. And you know, we bring up the word decruitment all the time, and you talk about the mental aspects of being a guy that was the big man on campus. Everything comes easy in high school, right? When you're a four-star prospect, a five-star prospect, you can run over some of these linebackers. You can run through some of these defensive linemen like me as an offensive lineman. But, listen, everybody's good in college, and that ability to show up. I saw this with my own eyes. Back in 08, Bama gets the number one recruiting class in the country. I think the most we had been under Mike Shula was like 12th or something like that. You get a lot of those guys on board, and you have to find your Julio Jones. You have to find your Mark Ingram, the guys that are willing to come in and work and keep their head down. Not everybody's going to be a superstar the minute they step on campus. So those other guys fill in those voids. I mean, you have those guys that become depth on special teams, and really – in my opinion, that's when teams really hit the next level. And Georgia, I think, was a little bit a year ahead of schedule last year. But now that depth starts to set in. Now it is, if we're missing a right tackle, guess what? We got a five-star behind him. Hey, if we're missing a linebacker, we've got a five-star behind him. We're a dime guy or a nickel guy. Let those guys go out, cover kicks, let them kind of grow their roots a little bit in that program, and they'll be better off for it in the end.
I talked to Mike Griffith about that subject yesterday as well, that the word that I use was for Georgia now, and Alabama's been there for the last few years, I won't deny that, but for Georgia now, practice can kind of be an event in and of itself because of who you're competing against and because of just how hard you have to go through to even look acceptable and sort of meet expectations during drills, even the early portions, the early periods of practice. It's an event because of the other good players that are there. When you have a depleted roster, either you're not using all 85 of your scholarships or the majority of your players are not those sort of blue chip guys coming out of high school, you really can't make practice feel like as big of a deal as it sort of seems like it is when you've got 60 guys who were among the nation's top players when they came out of high school. It does become a bit more of sort of a sporting event in and of itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, admittedly, B.A., this is something I didn't understand as a player. Like, you go out to practice as a player, it's the daily grind, you're 18, 19-year-old kids, you got these guys showing up, and there would be, beat writers out there. There would be people from ESPN. There would be guys separating reps saying, well, this guy got the reps under the chutes with the first team, but this guy hit the bag with the first team. And it blew my mind. And it wasn't until I got into the media that I thought, oh, man, I can't wait to hear who's going at right tackle this week. I can't wait to see who's rushing the passer from the edge in this guy's spot. And, there's so much talent on the field for Georgia right now that it does become a spectacle. Hey, you know what? You're returning, four offensive linemen. So who's going to be that fifth guy to plug in? Where's the shuffle going to become? People are glued to their screens right now to see just what's next for this Georgia football team. And I got to tell you, obviously I went to Alabama, but I've lived in Atlanta for some time. I don't remember there ever being a buzz like there is for camp throughout Athens right now and throughout the state of Georgia. Everybody is living and dying with every story that comes out, I think.
Yeah, it's really pretty fascinating to see. Let me call back on your Alabama career here for a moment as well, because when you're a veteran player and these sort of hotshot freshmen come in, maybe you notice them, maybe you don't. As you said, maybe you were sort of conditioned back in those days to sort of think that the hype was a negative thing, and maybe, those guys might have a tendency not to live up to all those accolades. But were there ever moments where you said, whoa, this guy really pops for me, or boy, that you can really tell this guy is bringing something to the table? Some people might say that about a guy like James Cook, who the freshman running back for Georgia, who at the open practice practice on Saturday, seemed to really perform well. You know, of course, there's always the danger of what you see in a brief window, not consistent with what's happened in every other practice, and maybe that can be somewhat misleading. But did you ever have those moments, like maybe Cook provided for some Georgia fans on Saturday during an open practice, where you said, boy, this freshman's doing things just a little bit differently? He really brings sort of a extra skill set to the table.
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, until Julio Jones showed up on campus, I had never seen what an NFL receiver really looks like. You know, you can imagine what it is. You see him on TV all the time, but Julio Jones showed up on campus, and it wasn't just his physical skill set. It was the way he was able to go to work. And I know that that's what some of those Georgia guys are putting forth right now. You're keeping your head down. You know, sometimes when you're the big man on campus, say you're a five-star guy, and maybe you go to, you know, a place like Tennessee or Florida right now where there's not many five-stars on the roster. And it's easy to be a loudmouth. It's easy to feel cocky. It's easy to say, hey, you know, I was the crown jewel of the signing class. You can't touch me. But some of these guys do come in. And I think that's where it hits the next gear for me. When you come in and keep your head down and you have that physical skill set, hey, not only am I physically gifted, not only, you know, can I run a 4.440, but I'm also willing to work. I'm also willing to learn new things. I'm also willing to accept the fact that I'm not as good now as I'm going to be. And, you know, Julio Jones was like that. Trent Richardson was another guy like that, another teammate of mine. Those guys pop. I mean, you can see the physical skill set, but I think it hits that next gear when you have guys that are really willing to go to work. And from the things I'm hearing down in Athens right now, there's quite a few of those guys for them.
The other freshman running back I wanted to ask you about, and I don't guess you ever had an ACL tear, and I know you didn't play the running back position, so you're not going to call on maybe personal experience to answer this, but, you know, Zamir White did tear his ACL during his senior season of high school. I'm not a doctor. I don't quite know how to explain this, but somehow it was really not viewed to be that serious of a tear. Certainly nowhere near as serious as what Nick Chubb dealt with in 2015 when he dealt with, I guess, multiple ligaments tearing. And as I said, I could not be less of a medical professional, so I don't even have any idea what I'm talking about here. But White was cleared to practice full go here this week, but he is working with a knee brace right now. As a former player who certainly was around a lot of running backs that injured themselves and certainly played banged up yourself plenty of times, what would be your best guess about what it's like for White right now and kind of what he's going through? Able to practice, but not quite sure how much of a workload he can take on, and maybe not quite sure when that brace is going to come off. What does all this mean to you as a former player when you hear that description?
Well, you know, first and foremost, let's just be honest. The knee, anytime you're repairing a knee, it's bigger for the running back than probably any other position. I mean, no other position like running back has to cut off that knee and has to establish confidence in that knee. That's the biggest word for me, confidence. How fast can you establish confidence to where that running back gets to the second level or the third level of that defense and can stick his leg in the ground and drive a different direction? Because, you know, people just think that comes naturally. And until you hurt yourself, that does come naturally. But after you hurt yourself, it is on your mind. Hey, you know what? I can't quite stick it as hard in the ground as I want to. Or maybe I'll use the other leg to really cut in this situation. So, you know, the knee brace is going to be an adjustment. I played in knee braces for a long time throughout college. I did not use them when I was with the Falcons in the NFL. It's a little bit of a different feel anytime a running back puts on a knee brace, but I have full confidence that he's got enough time in front of him. This is not like he's coming in the middle of October. He's got enough time in front of him right now that he can establish that confidence in his leg. So I definitely look for him to be a big contributor this fall.
I am dying to get your thoughts on what happened with the Alabama quarterback situation over the course of this weekend. As a way of setting this up, let me give you mine. And I didn't realize that this is what I thought was going to happen here, but seeing how all this plays out, I can't help but feel this way. So Jalen Hurts goes very public this weekend when he spoke to the media about what he felt like was a lack of communication from the Alabama coaches towards him about the current state of this quarterback competition, which is sort of a weird thing to hear Hurts say, given the fact that Saban a couple times during the offseason said, I don't know if Jalen Hurts is going to transfer or not. I don't know if he's going to be here on this team or not. He said that at least twice, if I'm counting correctly here. Mike, to hear Saban say that, to hear Hurts say what he says, this sounds like an awful lot like what you see go on sometimes in college football with recruits these days, where they find out maybe they're not wanted by their current school they're committed to because the communication stops. They stop feeling the love on the recruiting trail. The phrase comes out of, they're not recruiting me quite as hard anymore. Is Jalen Hurts getting processed out of the Alabama program by Nick Saban?
That's an interesting take on it, B.A., and I'd expected nothing less from you. You know, and listen, I think there is some credence to what you're saying, especially given Nick Saban's kind of answer yesterday to the media where, hey, you know, he says, hey, Jalen has a right to speak to the media, has a right to speak his mind, and we understand that. And he said, hey, I spoke to some of the leaders, and I don't think this is going to affect us as a football team. Now, I don't know if that involved Jalen Hurts. I don't know if that was a, hey, you know, we're going to talk without Jalen Hurts kind of leadership meeting, but it's definitely interesting. And you know, listen, I've spoke about this a few times in the last couple of weeks to Alabama people. I understand what Jalen Hurts is coming from. I understand what he's going through. You know, everybody's allowed to talk about Jalen Hurts other than Jalen Hurts. You know, he's not allowed to have an opinion. So he thought, you know what, this is the one time I'll get to step in front of the camera, and I, you know, I'll get to say what I want to say. But the sad thing for me, B.A., is this didn't help Jalen Hurts in any way. It did, to me, it didn't help, you know, the way people around the program view him. It didn't help the way his teammates view him or his coaches view him. There was three times in his statements that he said the word me, and that might be three more times than I've ever heard Jalen Hurts say the word me. Yeah. They didn't talk to me. Nobody asked me. That's just, it's not what you want to hear out of a starting caliber quarterback or somebody that you want, that has been instructed to keep your head low and lead your team. So while I understand what Jalen Hurts was going through, I would not have said the same things that he said. And I think it makes it even more interesting that Nick Saban came out yesterday and said, hey, you know what, this isn't going to hurt us as a team, which says to me, you know what, we're going to have to move on from him if he continues to say stuff like that, in my opinion. I mean, that's how I felt about it.
Mike, your perspective on the SEC is fantastic. I know you're going to be doing a lot more in the months to come on that. And I hope maybe the next time we have you on the show, we can talk about some of the big things that you've got going on. I know we're not quite ready to announce that yet, but I know we've got some fun things coming up in the future. So do me a favor, come back soon. Let's talk about the next big announcement for where we can hear a whole lot more of you, and I can't wait to do that with you, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. The near future, we'll be kicking off some good stuff, BA. So can't wait to jump back on you and announce some of that good stuff. And looking forward to some of the big things right around the corner.
Thank you for being with us today, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks, brother.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
I love talking to Mike Johnson about the SEC. I just think he's a great analyst. I mean, y'all know I'm a huge fan of his work, and he's an invaluable resource for us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And I loved his phrase there about Jalen Hurts. And I'll admit, when it comes to being a quarterback, I haven't been a Jalen Hurts fan for a long time. I mean, I was telling you a year ago what everybody's telling you now, that Hurts can't play. At least at the highest level of the SEC, Jalen Hurts was not that guy. And, you know, offensive player in the SEC, 2016 notwithstanding, I told you at the start of the 2017 season that that'll play Tua Tagovailoa instead of him. Unfortunately, I got proven right. When I least wanted to be right at halftime of the national championship game. But nonetheless, that is what goes down there. But all that being said, even though I'm not a huge fan of Hurts as a quarterback, I do sympathize with Hurts' situation here, and I thought Mike described that very well. Everybody in the world can talk about Jalen Hurts, including blowhards like me, except for Jalen Hurts. Hurts finally got a chance to speak on his own behalf over the course of the weekend. I'm sure he felt better about it. Alabama may feel worse, but that's a tough position to be in. And Mike, as the former player, kind of giving you the perspective of the former player, I think that's really valuable there. On this subject more as our SEC Through kind of rolls on here, Nick Saban did address this yesterday. Instead of playing the audio, let me show you a couple tweets here from some of the media members, including John Zehner, who was on the scene there. Here is what Saban says in that regard, that every player has a right to express what he feels, what he thinks. I think he has every right to do that with every coach and anybody in the organization he has relationships with. I don't believe Saban for a moment on that. But what else is he supposed to say? The other thing that Zehner quoted Saban as saying yesterday is that he didn't think this was going to have any impact on his team. I guess that remains to be seen there. I mean, I do think, we were talking about this before the show started today, that it is so anti-Nick Saban to have something like this unfold in this way where it sort of bubbles up to the surface, and it's like you sort of see the, you know, it's like, you know, some restaurants want to have the open kitchen where you see him cooking and you see him, you know, handling all the food. Some restaurants have the closed kitchen, and you sort of know why they probably do, because maybe you don't want to see exactly the process where the food gets served. Alabama's always been sort of the closed kitchen restaurant. You don't see what's going on back there. You don't see, you know, you don't see the eggs getting broken, the omelets getting made. You don't see any of that kind of stuff. They just sort of deliver the meal here. This is sort of that rare example where you sort of saw behind the scenes there, and you realize, oh, You know, the back of the house is the back of the house for a reason. Kind of a mess there at Alabama in that regard. But they do get some good news. Ali Cajo, and this is probably another one of those names that I mispronounce. Ali Cajo is a former five-star linebacker. We told you about him earlier this week on our program, who is from Reno, Nevada, longtime commit to BYU. On signing day, ends up committing to Washington. Does not enroll at Washington and has gotten a full release from the Huskies for what Chris Peterson's called personal reasons. And Ali Cajo, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, has now become a part of Alabama's 2018 class. And he will be immediately eligible for the Crimson Tide. Now, I don't know if he plays here this season, but he doesn't even have to get any kind of waiver like Josh Belk did, or obviously, you know, go through what Demetrius Robertson's going through. Ali Cajo never went to school there at Washington. So I have no idea why he doesn't go to Seattle, but he doesn't, and he avoids, you know, losing any of his eligibility. He's immediately eligible here for Alabama. So for a Crimson Tide program that missed on a lot of four- and five-star guys with its 2018 class, here is one that you will add to the mix there, the five-star linebacker here, and, of course, that's a position of need for Alabama. So this will be one worth watching here. I do think this gets tricky, and, you know, I'm not going to criticize you know, Alabama for this because I don't have any reason to, but it is, you know, letter of intents are signed and then guys leave, you know, before they go into school here. You know, that level, even in the day of you know, free transfer, which I'm in favor of, you still got to be careful about what happens after a letter of intent gets signed and the communication that goes down there. Now, listen, there's zero reason to think that Alabama did anything wrong here, but I do want to point this out, that as transfers become more prevalent, you know, letters of intent and sort of contracts still have to be paid close attention to. So this is going to become something you have to watch a lot closer in this sort of transfer age that we're in. But once again, to be very, very clear, there is zero suggestion that Alabama did anything wrong and how it went after Ali Cajo here. Tyler Taylor, an LSU linebacker, has been suspended. Taylor involved, I guess there's some criminal stuff going on with Taylor. He is from the state of Georgia, ended up going to LSU as a part of its 2017 class. Taylor indefinitely suspended right now as they kind of go through a lot of this kind of stuff. So we'll follow that Tyler Taylor story there. Some of you may remember him from the recruiting trail. And then something kind of fun here at the end of our SEC through. I like this from the fast food company Hardee's. You ever had a Hardee's breakfast? Yeah, I have to admit, I am. Growing up in Hall County, Hardee's was a big part of our breakfast repertoire around there. Go get a sausage biscuit or biscuit and gravy. Some people like a steak biscuit there from Hardee's. Well, somebody on Twitter was sort of making the comparison between Butch Jones and Jeremy Pruitt. And as a way of complimenting Pruitt, they said, Pruitt's definitely the kind of guy that eats breakfast at Hardee's. I don't really know like what that even supposed to mean necessarily, but that's what somebody said. And then somebody came back and ripped Butch Jones, and then Hardee's gets in on this as well. Do we have this tweet we can show people on the screen here of Hardee's talking about Butch Jones? This is the official account. It says Lyle. That's Butch Jones' real first name. Lyle took two decaf. He took a decaf two creams, which is weird, Hardee says, because he got creamed eight times last season. So Hardee's going in on Butch Jones. I don't mind that at all. Pretty funny stuff there. And we'll make that the final story there for your SEC through. So, yeah, I like that from Hardee's. I don't mind that whatsoever. That's pretty entertaining. Something else that's pretty entertaining is our Own the East video series we've been doing with Georgia's Own Credit Union, me teaming up with Chip Towers. You read the written pieces from Chip. He also does a great job on these videos. We looked at Isaac Nata yesterday. How about another look now at another fan favorite for UGA this season, the kicker Rodrigo Blankenship, one of the heroes from the Rose Bowl last year, and maybe a guy who's got moral heroic feats in mind for 2018. Let's take a look at Hot Rod right now.
Georgia's Own Credit Union presents Own the East, and a look at the names to know as Georgia tries to get back on top of the division once again in 2018. Hello, everybody. I'm Brandon Adams, along with Dog Nation's Chip Towers. Let's take a look at Georgia kicker Rodrigo Blankenship, already a fan favorite before the Rose Bowl, but that record-setting field goal at the end of the first half against the Oklahoma Sooners may have cemented that status even more, and he goes into 2018. One of the big reasons why Georgia could own the East.
Yeah, he definitely is, and what a folk hero, Rodrigo Blankenship, Hot Rod, Mr. Rec Specs. He has all kinds of nicknames, and he's become quite the beloved figure at the University of Georgia, and rightly so. I mean, I don't think there's anybody out there who couldn't
appreciate what it was Rodrigo Blankenship did, coming in as a walk-on with promises from the previous regime, being told he was going to have to earn his position, and man, he did. And you know, that 55-yard field goal right before the half against Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl will literally go down in history. So I don't think Rodrigo Blankenship is much of a concern. You know, he is definitely going to be, for once, talked about in the aspect of being a weapon for Georgia this year, and that's the way they're considering him heading into the 2018 season.
So you say Rodrigo Blankenship, not much of a concern, maybe not the case at punter. We know a lot about Blankenship. We don't know about that other specialist role a whole lot yet, do we?
Well, that's the thing. Georgia's kicking game was just out of this world last year. I mean, I went back and looked, and Georgia actually won the special teams battle in every single game they played last year, and that is just unheard of, really. And so where they're really going to have to shore up is in the punting game. Now, you know, you're going to have to replace some specialists as well in terms of snappers and holders and all that kind of stuff. But Cameron Nozalek was quite the player last year, and you're going to have to get contributions either from Marshall Long, you know, who's returning and coming off an injury, or Jake Camarda, you know, who's coming in as a true freshman from Norcross as a place kicker primarily, but also as a punter.
A fascinating subplot to watch unfold during the 2018 season.
On the East is brought to you by Georgia's Own Credit Union and Georgia's Own Visa Signature Card, which gives 1.25 points for each dollar charge and can be redeemed for cash back, gift cards, travel, merchandise, and more. Check out georgiasown.org for more details.
I love doing On the East with Chip Towers. And, you know, some of you had said, On the East, we're doing that again this year. Didn't Georgia own the East last year? Shouldn't the goals be set higher here for 2018? And that is certainly a reasonable question and, you know, a point worth bringing up here. I think my reasoning for going back down the road of Own the East again here for 2018 is twofold. A, I think Own the East has a nice ring to it. I sort of like that phrasing. And B, and here's the more serious reason. You know, for Georgia, and Kirby Smart said this a million times, that, you know, the accomplishments of last year's team, winning the division, winning the SEC, beating Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl, college football playoff, playing for national championship, those were last year's accomplishments. This year starts over a fresh slate, new goals to be knocked down, and the division is the first one of those. And so in solidarity with that, that's why we're doing Own the East here again for 2018. And, of course, we certainly appreciate Georgia's Own Credit Union helping us out with that and making all that possible. Really fun to be able to do that with Chip Towers, lean on his expertise when it comes to the University of Georgia. By the way, I hope you're enjoying Chip and Mike Griffith, their coverage from Georgia practice here each and every day. Great stuff from them in that regard. I know I'm reading every word, and I know that you probably are as well. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, if you're not checking out the forum at forum.dognation.com, that is another great way to keep up with everything we have going on right here around Dog Nation. And one of my favorite things about the Dog Nation forum is there are a lot of Gator haters on that message board, which is certainly music to my ears. I love seeing how much many of them love just rubbing things in on the Florida Gators. We love that here. And we also look forward to 79 days from right now. Boy, doesn't it start to feel like that's pretty close. 79 days from right now, Georgia beats Florida again. It's our Gator Hater Countdown right here on Dog Nation Daily. I hope you all have a great day. I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow.